a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Rules Review Committee, I would call for a roll call.
Buell, O'Donnell, Gibson, Hayek,
here.
Hunhoff,
here.
Valley,
here.
Johns,
here.
Have a quorum.
Thank you. I would request approval of the minutes. Do we have a motion?
So moved. Hayek. Second, Hunhoff.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passed. Do we have a staff report? Hearing none, let's move to the review of the proposed rules. Senator Valley.
Senator, or Representative Johns, this is Doug. On the staff report, since we're teleconference, all votes need to be by roll call.
All right, thank you. Well, let's have a roll call vote then on the minutes.
Hayek?
Yes.
Hunhoff?
Aye.
Valley?
Aye.
Johns?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Senator Valley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Today we have the Game, Fish, and Parks with us on the rules that are going to cover the wolves, the sage grouse, antelope, the fall early take and goose hunting season, and the bobcats. And the wolves are especially interesting to me because it was my bill that caused this. So with that, I'm assuming that Tony Leif is there.
Yes, Senator Valley. Good morning.
Good morning.
Tony Leif, Director of the Wildlife Division for the Department of Game, Fish, and Parks, here this morning to present rules to you that were adopted by the Game, Fish, and Parks Commission at their July 8th meeting here in Pierre. First off, let me say that I want to make sure all of you know that I sincerely appreciate your attendance this morning. Both committee members and staff, the effort that you put into arranging this meeting so that we could give these rules their proper hearing and get them filed in time. The issue that arose from the rules passed by the Game, Fish, and Parks Commission is that those pertaining to the September goose hunting season, a season which is scheduled to begin on September 1st, would not be official if you added the 20 days to the end of the next meeting, the regular meeting of the Interim Rules Committee, which is scheduled for August 20th. Consequently, we requested this teleconference, and once again, thank you very much for taking some of your valuable time this morning to take these rules under your consideration. I'm hoping that all of you have a copy of the rule package that was sent to you, a 14-page package. That begins first with the inspection rule for harvested wolves. As Senator Valley mentioned, he was the primary sponsor of a bill this last year that classified wolves as a predator varmint in South Dakota. This rule is, in a way, a follow-up on that new classification. One of the most fundamental ways we have to monitor wildlife populations in the state is by keeping track of what is harvested. In this particular case, we have a license requirement that's a general license. It's a predator varmint license, and you can also hold any other hunting license and take a wolf in South Dakota. Consequently, we had to have some type of a reporting method for us to be responsible in our management of these wolves. Important to note here that you may recall when the legislation was passed this last year that there was a provision in there that said wolves may only be taken when and where they're delisted by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Things have not changed as far as the classification of wolves in South Dakota as of today versus what it was back the day that you took a vote on this particular bill. Currently, wolves are delisted under the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service Endangered Species Act in eastern South Dakota only. However, the Fish and Wildlife Service has published the intent to adopt a rule in the Federal Register, and the comment period is now open. The effect of that rule would be to delist South wolves in western South Dakota like they are in eastern South Dakota. The deadline for providing comments on that proposed rule is September 11th of this year, and subsequent to closing the comment period, the Fish and Wildlife Service will make their final decision on delisting wolves in western South Dakota also. Next up, you'll notice the sage-grouse hunting season. The commission took action to close that season. It was a very limited season in the past, and due to some difficult conditions, particularly to the drought in western South Dakota, we saw sage-grouse numbers dip below a threshold that we have established in the management plan under which we would keep the hunting season open. Consequently, the commission did take action to close that hunting season. Next, at the bottom of page 2 is some rule changes pertaining to the goose hunting season, and in particular the season that I mentioned at the beginning with my remarks pertaining to the September Canada goose hunting season. There are actually rule changes in two different chapters pertaining to the September goose hunting season. The change that you see at the bottom of page 2 and on into page 3, 4, and on into 5 pertains to the unit descriptions. They are in a chapter that is dedicated to a general discussion of waterfowl hunting seasons, and then later on towards the end of this rule package, you'll see where there are specific rules in a separate chapter that pertain directly to the September season. The changes within the unit boundaries that you see on these pages 2 through 5, there's a lot of changes going on that you see there, but the reality is the only change is somewhat minor in that Tripp County and a portion of Charles Mix County are being added to Unit 2, which is that unit on the central part of the state. Previously, you'll notice in rule that we had a very lengthy description of two different units in the state, Unit 1 and Unit 2. And when you duplicate this complicated language, the chances for errors duplicate themselves. Plus, it's not necessary to have all this language into rule. So in addition to making these changes to add Tripp County and a portion of Charles Mix County to Unit 2, we also simplified the rules in such a way that there's only a detailed description in one of these two big units, and then the other unit, Unit 2, describes as being a unit that is everything else that's not comprised in Unit 1 and Unit 3. So mostly a cleanup. I mean, a lot of things going on there, but mostly that's a cleanup with a minor change or shift in the number or the counties that are in Unit 1 versus Unit 2. Next, beginning on page 7, are the adjustments to the antelope hunting season for this fall. The only changes that you'll see contained here are a reduction in the number of licenses available. There is a slight reduction in the number of buck tags, just a couple dozen, but the bulk of the changes that you see here are a reduction in the number of doe tags. And generally, all of these license reductions are in areas of the state where we are attempting to recover our antelope populations and want those populations to grow. With some favorable winters and this reduction in licenses, we foresee the future being an increase in opportunity to hunt antelope, and in particular, the western part of the state where the bulk of our antelope are located. I won't go through the details as a standard of when I present these rules of all individual units, but I'll do my best if you have any questions about changes that were made to the tag numbers and licenses in each individual unit. That takes us forward to page 12 of your rule package. And again, now we're returning to that specific chapter that pertains to the early fall Canada goose hunting season, which is in the month of September. You will see that the commission took action to open it slightly earlier. I'm just backing it up from the first Saturday in September to September 1st. Now, this links directly back to the August season, which you took action on at your last meeting. The August is not technically a hunting season. We did have some discussion of that following a question by Senator Valley, you may recall. It's actually a management order in the August season, some of the semantics, I guess, that the Fish and Wildlife Service use, and they are the primary authority governing waterfowl hunting seasons. But the August season will be continuous with the September goose season, one closing on August 31st and the next opening on September 1st. Also, the Fish and Wildlife Service recently took action to allow hunters to retain three times their daily limit of all waterfowl in their possession, which is a change which used to be twice the daily limit. So you'll notice that's reflective here. And also the commission will be taking that same rule consideration under their consideration here when they meet tomorrow and the next day in Watertown on the regular waterfowl hunting seasons. Next, you'll notice there are some adjustments to the bobcat hunting season. There was a lot of discussion. In fact, the commission was scheduled to take action on this item in June, but due to some other ideas they want to consider, they delayed their action on this, on the bobcat season, and got some additional public input and got some additional information, and in the end adopted a rule that would shorten the bobcat season by opening it on September 26th as opposed to the second Saturday of December. The goal with this rule change is to reduce the number of bobcats that are being harvested in the interest of protecting the population to ensure future opportunities to harvest bobcats in the state. In particular, the commission is concerned, as the staff recommended, to be concerned about the number of female bobcats are being harvested, because obviously that's the reproductive potential of the population, and this reduction in the season length should reduce the number of bobcats being harvested, and in particular, the number of female bobcats that harvested. That's a summation of the comments that I have for you. Once again, I want to express my gratitude for your time here this morning to hear these rules, and I will be happy to stand by for any questions any of you might have.
All right. Thank you for your comments. Are there any other proponents of these rules in Pierre?
There are no other proponents.
Are there any opponents of these rules?
No opponents.
All right. At that point, if there are no proponents or other opponents or no opponents or other proponents, I will open it up to questions by the committee. Any questions? I will start off with one. The wolf rule, the second part of that talks about making the or to submit the wolf for inspection. Could you elaborate on that? If I shoot a wolf up in the northwest part of the state, do I have to bring it to Pierre, or how is that going to work? I don't want to create a problem for people and then have them break the law because they didn't drive it 200 miles to a place.
Yes, Senator Valley, good question. We had some discussion internally and with the commission about this particular issue, and you will notice that the rule does not say that it's the burden of responsibility is on the hunter to bring that animal to the department. In fact, in most cases, if not all, if it is inconvenient for the hunter to bring that animal in, we will go to the hunter or go to the farmer or rancher to make the inspection.
Okay, it just says submit the animal for inspection, and I just wanted to clear up. You're not going to make somebody drive 200 miles to bring it in.
No, sir, we are not. We will go to them if that's more convenient for them.
Okay. Other questions? Could you, I had one on the bobcat. You took the 2 weeks off the front end of the season to, could you maybe explain to the committee, because I don't understand why you end up getting more females in the front end of the season and you end up getting more males at the end. Is it the size of the animal or what happens?
Yeah, with the bobcat hunting season, the reason that more females tend to be harvested, and it's not a real drastic difference in proportion, but generally a few more females get harvested earlier in the season, basically because at that time of the year they happen to be more susceptible to taking a bobcats. And it's probably even more related to the increase in susceptibility that male bobcats have later in the season, which ends up coinciding with the breeding seasons, and when those males are much more mobile, going around, and they're traveling more, they're more subject to being called in to calls and being captured in traps. So it's mostly a factor of an increased susceptibility of males late in the season. And to be honest, I mean, most trappers, fur harvesters, want to target those adult males because they are a little bit larger and more valuable. The fur of those animals is more valuable if they sell them.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions by the committee? If there are no further questions, we will close it to public testimony and open it up for discussion and or action.
This is Johns. I would move that the review of the rules is complete.
Hayek, second.
It's been moved by Representative Johns and seconded by Representative Hayek that the rules are complete. Any discussion on that motion?
No.
There's no discussion on that motion. We will take a vote, and those in favor say aye, those opposed say nay.
Hayek?
Aye.
Hunhoff?
Aye.
Johns?
Aye.
Valley?
Aye.
Motion carried.
The rules have been determined to be complete. At this point, I'll turn the gavel back over to the chair.
Thank you. The agenda being completed, the chair will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved, Hayek.
Second, Valley.
A roll call vote, please.
Hayek?
Aye.
Hunhoff?
Aye.
Valley?
Aye.
Johns?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Meeting's adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
Thank
you.
Bye. Thank you.